Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Fielding Edloe shares a really personal story about something that happened at her child's elementary school.
And he said, well, it seems as if our 7-year-old daughter told somebody at school that her dad tied her to a chair. Oh, and carried her around in a potato sack. So, that's a phone call you don't want. And he says, you have to call her and make an appointment because she wants to interview you and she needs to interview your daughter. A police officer went to this school, took my child out of class, and interviewed her for half an hour with the head of the school. She's 7 years old.
Today on the show, comedian Fielding Edloe talks about a very serious situation that happened at her daughter's elementary school. Stay close.
Hey, it's Fielding Edloe, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with author Margot Lightman. Do you know Margot Lightman, Fielding?
I don't.
She's an author and a really great storyteller. She actually goes around the world storytelling. She's written 3 books on storytelling. So she's really
I gotta check
accomplished
her out.
And super funny. And her story was called, it was called The Stories We Tell Ourselves.
Ooh.
And what she's talking about is how we get these narratives in our mind, what's happening or what's going to happen. And that might not be what's going on at all. But we tell ourselves stories. We make shit up. Like middle of the night, we lay there and we start thinking. At least I do. I think that's anxiety, right? Because you start thinking this and then this and then this. And it's like, what are you talking about? You don't even have a manager to talk about.
Right.
Worry about.
I love that. Yeah. I need her in my life.
So anyway, ASAP, Margot has a super funny story about this necklace that was her aunt's and wearing it. Then it got lost and... Anyway, very funny story. So go back and listen to that, you guys. But not today, because today I'm here with comedian Fielding Edloe, and she brings forth the topic elementary school drama. And I have a daughter who's 12. Now, she's in sixth grade now. But, of course, she K to 5 was, you know, elementary school. And there was, I can't remember a lot of drama, but her little friends in fifth grade did get real bitchy. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? The little girl things and leaving some children out and then inviting other children mm-hmm. in. And that little click thing kind of started.
Little Heathers.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a drag. but my daughter, she gets a lot of attention from me, and my ex were very much like hands-on with her. And so, like, you know, we see her if she's upset. We can tell. But we also are kind of like hands-on, like, look, this is going to happen, and, you know, you have to just go to the love, go to the people who are good, you know? You have to try to, you know, just talk to them more openly, I think, is what I'm saying, than when I was a kid, when they just said, good luck. They just sent us out to the wolves.
Totally.
And you figured it out. But nowadays, I think most parents are a little more involved that it won't be maybe as dramatic, but I could be wrong.
No, we do role play and act outs. With
yes,
them. Yeah, with people
no
who
kidding.
Are like, does this person make you feel thumbs up or thumbs down? And
yeah.
I mean, I had none of that.
Yeah. Now, your daughter's 7,
yeah.
right? So now that's a little bit of a younger age as well. I mean, obviously, developmentally, she's not...
But there are clicks and weirdness and seat saving and all that mishigas.
Yeah, a bunch of bullshit, man. Don't you sometimes I just want to slap a little girl? I just want to slap her, say, hey, Layla, just shut up. And I, you know.
So desperately.
I know.
Or just be like, you know, or just drop 20 F-bombs and be like, and by the way, I can't stand your mother.
Yeah, it really, you do.
Because guess what? Like mother, like daughter, usually.
Here's the thing. What we learn is that these children are people.
Yes.
And they have personalities, and some you're going to like, and sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
And some you're not. So it's like they're, and we think, at least being a mother, I think that I own you.
Right.
And you will behave or whatever. Like these kids turn in sometimes to little bitches. I guess, I don't know. We're going to deal with it the best we can.
Oh, yeah. Raging. If they're a raging nightmare now, yeah. That's what they're going to be.
Yeah. because it's like they're getting something out of it, right? They're getting attention, or they're, whether it's good behavior or bad behavior, they're getting attention.
Yeah.
And at home, maybe their parents work these. Cause some kids, you know, their parents drop them off at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Pick them up at 5:30 in the afternoon.
I know.
Some of these kids stay at school these ridiculously long hours because their parents are working, etc.
When they're young.
And they're
like
really
a 3-year-old. I remember being like, do you know how lucky you are that I sit on the ground and play headbands with you? You think I want to be doing this shit?
Headbands is a good game.
And actually, you know what? I actually do enjoy headbands.
I do enjoy being a mom, though, don't you?
I love it. I do love it. I mean, I've definitely gotten a lot of material out of it, thank God. Yeah. Even though she's my little cock block.
But you're married. You've been married like 11 years, right?
10 years.
10 years.
You're right. Oh my God, you're 11. You know what?
2008.
I didn't even know. That's how checked out I am. It's Facebook reminds me of my anniversary. Yeah. We forget it every year because I don't give. It was like not one of the even top 20 best days of my life. My wedding day. Could care less.
Come on.
But no.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Interesting.
I was actually debating telling that story, but no, it was fine. I feel like I had just our photographer. Had a drinking bottom at our wedding. So we have half the pictures. Like, that's just like a symbol of like, he missed the rehearsal dinner because he's shooting a movie. And then all during the wedding, he's just talking about Matt Damon.
What in the world?
Yeah.
Did you have a say in this photographer?
I liked her.
I see.
But she was like, she was wait. And then she forgot to put a book out. And like, she was just, she came late and she was just, because we like, we're very sort of, who gives a shit people.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
But it was like, she just, and then the next day she came by and she was like sunbathing by the pool and took her top off. And she's like, let me get the pictures now.
What?
Yes. Insane.
What? Who is this person? Was she very young? I don't know.
No. She was just having a drinking. Like, of course hire the photographer with a drinking problem.
Okay, but that didn't ruin the whole day, right?
No, I mean, that was just an example
of things that didn't go well.
And then I had a friend who was just micromanaging the table and was like, literally said to me, can I rearrange the place cards? And I'm the kind of loser who's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a, I mean, it was fine. I guess, you know, and also we're sober. So it was like, it's one of those, like, three times in 20 years have I been like, you know what? A glass of wine would be nice.
Yeah.
Like, I could have really just used one glass of wine.
I bet.
But it's never one glass.
You can't. No. Yeah, no, there's no way.
It was fine. I mean, and by the way, I told Larry, because we're not like the people of Sex at Night. So I knew that. I go, do you mind if we could just have sex on our wedding night? That would be nice, you know? Because he's, I don't know, for some reason we're morning people.
Okay.
No.
Oh, wow. You did not say no.
No. I mean, when it happened, he was like gassy and tired.
Well, what did you serve at the wedding?
A lot of shrimp. There was a chocolate fountain.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. No, it was nice. I mean, I literally was like, Dad, you were... It was basically like one of those... It was like Freud could have conducted experiment like, you were a terrible dad, and you're going to pay a lot of money for my wedding.
That's not true. Did you make him pay a little expensive wedding?
Oh, my God. Yeah, we should have bought a house. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God.
How many guests did you have?
We had 100 guests at Bacara in Santa Barbara.
Okay, 100 guests 110, is a nice size.
It was fine.
Nice.
You know what?
Yeah, it's not
we probably
many.
Don't talk to 20 of those people now.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, I
those
guess.
Are good
that's
odds.
True. Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Those are really good odds.
Okay. Oh, thanks.
Interesting. I've been married twice, but I never did like that expensive of a wedding.
You're so smart. Know? No, I'm an idiot. There was no reason
and
for
the next
that.
Time
I don't
married,
even have good memories.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You've got some pictures, right?
I have wonderful pictures.
And it's a really good story. I mean,
you know what
he
told me? I got too skinny. Larry goes, I don't know. It really wasn't attractive. I don't know why you lost all that weight. It was just anger weight. It was just like, I just didn't eat because I was so angry and tense.
Wow. Interesting.
I had to have little things put into my dress.
Yeah.
Just like, to give me a little something. Like, how sad is that?
Like that's not bad. Like little chicken cutlets.
Yeah.
Which like you put in your bra and make it bigger. I've done that a zillion times for camera and stuff. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So listen, I'm excited to hear. So that's how you got married. And then you guys made a child.
We made a child. I mean.
And that was
I don't
intentional.
Know how that happened. Yes.
That's nice.
No, yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's exciting having a child. Like, when I got pregnant, it was like we pulled the goalie, as it were, and I wanted to get pregnant, and we got pregnant. It was really fun.
Right? Isn't it great when, like, you don't... Life, so you many people it, have you know? So many issues. So, like, I was grateful about that.
Yeah.
Because we really were like, if it happens, great. If not, we could have a contented life and just do a lot of yoga and take trips.
and be at peace and, you know.
And be at peace on a mountain because we're so at peace at our house.
And not have to deal with elementary school drama. But that's not the choice you made. Anyway, listen, I'm excited to hear your story. But before we get to Fielding's story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. There, it's simple. Now, I haven't really gotten into the Insta story thing. Fielding, are you into the Insta story?
All I do is that, you mean Instagram story? I'm like an 80-year-old Jewish Jessica Tandy. Yeah, like, a little bit.
I don't do it enough, and I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but...
You're enough, Christine.
I don't know,
you're
man.
Enough.
I just,
it's hard.
It's really hard. I have my hands in
and too also,
much social
it's so
media.
Ephemeral, and it disappears after like 11 hours or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, but that was a masterpiece, and now it's gone.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess you can save it.
I it's funny because I'm really actually quite computer adept at all sorts of things. I teach social media, but for me personally, I don't know why that's why. I don't know why I'd rather.
I think you're killing it on social media.
Oh, well, thank
you. You're a wizard. You're a goddamn wizard. I learned from, like, look at, no, I literally stop and I'm like, that's a good post.
Twitter's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Do you like Twitter?
I enjoy it. Sometimes I'm in the pocket and sometimes I'm like, I'm really not in the pocket. I should just stop tweeting because it's not hitting.
But it's sometimes it's just so entertaining. I don't know. It's smart.
It is. It is smart. You have to distill your little things.
Depending on who you follow. I mean, in other words, you have to cater it to yourself.
Right.
Like, I follow this Kruger National Park in Africa, and I can't stop. I mean, that's like all I do all night.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard
all
in my
entire
life.
All I ever do all night is I comment on their photos. I talk about the cheetahs, the lions on the move, stationary. I get really pissed when I see other cars in the shot, and I make it known.
Oh, my God. I am really in my car. Great. I'm going
to
follow them.
And they write to me, too. They write back to me. Yeah, Kruger, they know me.
Can they fly you out there?
I'm telling you, I'm always like, they'll say things like, if anyone is looking for a cabin south of the Crocodile Bridge for Easter weekend, give us a shout. And I'm like, I want to come and stay in the cabin near the Crocodile Bridge.
They should fly you out and you should just have a Storyworthy with a yak and an elk and some bison.
A live Storyworthy out on the Serengeti. I don't see why not. All right, you guys, she's here right now, Fielding Edlow. She's a comedian and an actress, and I guess I'd say writer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Of course you'd say writer. And you currently voice the character Roxy on BoJack Horseman, and you are the creator and the star of the web series Bitter Homes and Gardens, which is super funny. I told you I've watched a bunch of them.
Thank you.
Super funny. It won the Best Comedy at the Palm Springs Film Festival. I went to that film festival this year, actually.
This was a couple years ago. They're so nice there.
A lot of fun.
We had a
very
blast.
Accommodating, easy to park, which is always a treat.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
everything about it was a dream.
Yeah. You guys can find Fielding over on Twitter at Fielding Edlow and on your website, fieldingedlow.com. Okay, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Fielding Edlow.
Thank you so much, Christine. All right.
Yay.
Strap in.
I'm excited.
So this is trauma drama at my kid's school, and it actually didn't happen so long ago. And I'll just tell you that Thanksgiving break, I decided to take my daughter to visit my brother in Boston. And my husband stayed back because he, quote unquote, was like, you know what? I don't need to do your family this year. And I was like, no problem. I don't need to do your Irish Baltimore family where they tell stories for 3 hours and 45 minutes. Like, you could stage, like, you could choreograph a Shen Yun routine in, like, the duration of their pauses. Like, it's so, anyway. Wow, this is not going to go off on a marriage tangent. But anyway, and by the way, when my husband and I are, like, you know, just spending time apart, we don't even check in that much. Like, we're not those loser couples that are, like, texting all day long. Like, I don't even think we texted during Thanksgiving. Like, what do I need to hear? Like, oh, I went to the 101 and had chicken parm with other balding middle-aged character actors. How wonderful. We talked about craft. Okay, so I look at my phone, and this was very an aberrant, weird thing. I had 9 missed calls from my husband, and I'm like, like he's in jail. His, you know, liver just fell out of his ass. Whatever, something happened. So I call him right back, and he said, somebody just knocked on our door. It was the DCFS, the Department of Child and Family Services. So I was like, that's weird. Why did they knock on our door? And he said, well, it seems as if our 7-year-old daughter told somebody at school that her dad tied her to a chair. Oof. Oh, and carried her around in a potato sack. I'm like, bitch, it wasn't a potato sack. It was a Bed Bath & Beyond organic pillowcase. And you loved it. And we didn't tie you to a chair. So, and then just to, like, quickly let all of you guys know who might even be secretly, silently, or overtly judging me, twice my daughter won't sit down to eat dinner. Okay, so two times my husband got a belt and loosely, it wasn't even tied, it was just around her in a large circle, and she was laughing hysterically, and she was like in belt jail, whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I remember when Larry told me that, I was like, oh, you know what? Doesn't sound like a great game. Maybe there's another way to get her. Do the Michelle Obama game. So she, so this is Michelle Obama at her dinner table. Everyone has to go around and say what their rose, bud, and thorn is. Rose is what you loved about the day. Thorn is your challenge. Bud is what you're looking forward to. So we actually do that now. Thanks, wow. Michelle. You see how I got my voice extra silky for that.
Wow.
So that's a phone call you don't want. And he says you have to call her and make an appointment because she wants to interview you and she needs to interview your daughter. And I'm about to leave my husband in a second. We're one dead cat away from divorce. But yes, our daughter. Yes, thank you for that. That was actually, yes, don't, all right. Larry won't listen to this. He might listen to this. So I need to do that, you know, immediately. And then, of course, I'm in Boston and, you know, I'm with my family and I can't tell my mother. I have zero relationship with my mother. So I have to keep this inside. And although right away I'm like, who the fuck was the mandated reporter? And of course, I'm like, it was the Hebrew teacher. It was the music teacher. Cause I'm like a, you know, embittered recovering alcoholic. I can't wait to pounce. So I do my best neighborhood playhouse acting exercise. And I'm like, hey, right after, you know, my mom's like, I thought you were making hot chocolate, you know, like I have to literally kick in. And I'm like, I'm not some Yiddish Swiss miss, like, shut up. And so I said to my daughter, I'd take her aside. And I'm like, so I hear you guys were playing like fun games with teachers where you're talking about like funny stuff you do with your parents. And she's like, who did you talk about the belt with? Right. And she told me it was the learning specialist. Let's just call her a tutor because that's what she is. So now I know who it is. And then I call two mom friends. Like one is like this immigrant. I mean, she's Kira Sultanovich. And she like literally is like, oh, you got to walk into the school and you just got to yank her out. I'm like, we're not even in school right now. She's like, you just got to, it's over. It's done. You walk in there, you drape yourself in crosses. Yeah. Like it's a Jewish school.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, get out. And then, and she's like, homeschooler. Which, by the way, homeschooler, oh, we're already home all the time. Like, my husband and I are, we're, oh, now everyone's home? Like, at any moment of the day, my husband is having, like, a Facebook fight with Swedish feminists about, like, formula versus breastfeeding. You know, and I'm like, stay in your lane, Larry. You know, it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Everyone, like, when my husband gets the mail, I feel like I've gone to St. Bart's. Like, I, you know what? We're not homeschooling her, you know? So, oh, and by the way, they've interviewed, Larry told me they interviewed our neighbors. So they've interviewed our neighbors. So this is what happens when there's no checkpoint at a school. Like that person who was a mandated reporter did not know us, did not know that I'm a comedian. I'm not saying I'm Sarah Silverman, but I'm a comedian. My husband's a comedic actor. They don't have daily just, you know, interfacing, or they don't have daily interaction with my daughter. They mm-hmm. don't know my family, but they just report us. And then the head of the school makes the call. So now we're in it. It's like the DMV times a billion.
So you're in Boston and you call.
I call the, now I have to call.
And you're learning this.
Yes.
Okay.
So then I have to call, right, the woman who works for the DCFS to make an appointment. Her voicemail's full, of course, because she probably has to deal, which I've heard now, this influx and flood of bullshit cases where there's no abuse, where we're just living in a police state and people are fucking power hungry. Like people are just drunk on power. And protecting. I got to protect myself. I can't lose my job. I can't lose my job. But you know what? And this is a private Jewish day school. You know, like, I say that in terms of, like, we enroll there because, like, there's 10 emails about a peanut or an inappropriate photographer.
And you knew that, though, going into the school. You chose the school.
Yeah.
Because it's a good school,
exactly.
Right?
And okay. In terms of, like, there's just lots of communication.
Right.
So the next point, and I bring that up because nobody in the school has alerted us, and they don't tell us that they've done this for months. We have to close the case before we can approach them.
Oh my god!
So I'm doing pick up and drop off, And I'm like, does the nurse know? Because the nurse just took her aside and gave her this big hug and was like, how's your day? Like we don't know who knows.
So you can't talk to the teachers? You can't go in and say, I need to sit down?
So we got a lawyer, and the lawyer instructed us, and I understood why, just get the case closed, which we knew we would because it was bullshit.
Right.
But get it closed, and then you walk in with that paper, and then you pull a Glengarry Glen Ross and rip them a new one. But have it closed so you know, they know, and you know, it's over.
Right.
You were wrong. You made a mistake.
And so they did interview your daughter.
So, right. So then she comes over. Well, first of all, my daughter was psyched that someone was coming over. And like as soon as the woman, and she was like nice, and thankfully it's a woman. The woman comes over and my daughter immediately goes, whose house are you going to visit after ours?
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ. And then she's like, do you want some food? She like puts food out. So she interviews me. Then I can't be there while she's interviewing my daughter. So I have to like crouch down around the corner listening like some like Yiddish Miss Marple or like Columbo. And I hear her ask questions like, and by the way, she's missing soccer for this. Not the biggest deal, but it is a big deal.
Yeah.
So she's like, do you feel safe? Are there drugs and alcohol? She never really acted. I don't know that she's heard the word alcohol. We don't have booze in our head. Right. So, and then she said to my daughter, do you ever go to bed hungry? And my daughter goes, sometimes. Oh, so I'm like, what are you, some Kaiser Soze trying to just like, has this all been a ruse to just fuck us? Like, so she looks in our refrigerator. Thankfully, I bought out Gelson's and it was like stocked.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it usually is anyway, right? If you're home.
Yes, of course. Right. But I knew that like, I just made sure, like again, I was coached by my lawyer. I knew where to go. And there was another family who went through this at another school who was handholding us. So then, by the way, a week later, my daughter, we have bedtime issues the way every parent does. So I remember I was putting her to bed and she was like, Mommy, I'm hungry. And I'm like, remember the kitchen was closed, 7 o'clock. She goes, Mommy, remember what the lady said?
She did not.
Yes, she did. Oh, yes, she did. Oh, no, I've locked the safe now all around the house. I've locked safes. Like, she's not, I can't trust this, whatever this is. Like, I don't know what. She's like the usual suspects. I'm like, I didn't have to have you. I didn't have to have you. You've been like, I don't know. You've been helpful, not helpful. And then so I was like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with. Oh yeah. So we closed the case. Oh, and then the denouement. So she's performing her, and we still like, finally we get the email. And then when the lady was at the house, she was like, I think this will be closed soon. Have to get a doctor's appointment to get her checked out by the county. We're like, no, no, we'll have our pediatrician. Thank you. Then it's getting closed. So the morning I sent a text to the woman at DCFS and she goes, yes. And I go, can you email that to me? Because I wanted it. Because we want to have our like David Mamet, Glengarry Glen Ross moment. And so with the administrators of the school.
Of course.
So that day I get it. And my daughter's performing latkes and applesauce for the Hanukkah play. We go there. She kills it. She's terrific. Other kids just can't even handle it and devolve into tears and rage and despair. And then we leave. And I have a deadline. So I'm home in the office. And Larry calls me. We have to go into the school this minute. A police officer went to the school to interview our daughter. So the police and DCFS run separate investigations. They don't talk to each other. So the police didn't know that they closed it. They run separate investigations. So a police officer went to this school, took my child out of class, and interviewed her for half an hour with the head of the school. She's 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. This is all because someone, mandated reporter, was triggered by my husband or didn't like my husband, or it was a dishonest reporting too.
So you think it was personal?
Yeah, I do. I 100% do. And I know because my husband during our parent-teacher conference a couple weeks before made a joke with the person sitting there, the learning specialist. He made a joke saying, I don't know how to get her to sit down and do homework. Maybe we have to tie her down.
Yeah.
And by the way, people who abuse don't usually make jokes about it.
Yeah, of course. Does he know her at all? Or it was just that interaction. It was just a professional interaction. In other words, he doesn't know her in Hollywood world or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
This is just a teacher at the school, a specialist.
Yeah.
And so maybe,
who floats. She's a floater.
Yeah, so she goes to different schools.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I want to hear about the Glengarry Glen Ross moment. I mean, so then what happened? What did you guys do?
So of course, this for months, I'm living in fantasy. Like, I'm going to wear my wedding shoes, a Dolce & Gabbana outfit. I'm just going to rip them a new one and be like, you know, like, benefit of the doubt and just like have my little things. And your motto is in we protect in kindness and whatever. So, but we rush in and we have this meeting and I'm not prepared, just like life. And we go in and the head of the school just goes, well, today sucked. And I'm like, what the fuck? And we sit there and it's not the moment that I wanted. You know, like, I can't speak because of the police officer, and I'm so emotional and I'm so rattled. And here's the other thing. Like, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life, but this one was the most unnerving and traumatic and disruptive in the sense that it was just so confusing. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any logical sense. It felt like the universe clearly wants us out of this school. Like, why? Like, how did, like, it's unbelievable. If you told me this was going to happen.
So all these people, then you're in the room, mm-hmm. police officer's there. The principal says, or is it the director of the school?
Well, the police officer was sent home. Like, okay. I was, yeah. And then she
says, so this day sucked.
Yeah. And then she starts, so then instead of talking about what's happened, and she has a sheet of paper that the case is closed and it was bullshit, she was taking notes in the session. So she starts going through minute by minute of what happened with the police officer. But I didn't even care that much about, I wanted to be like, do you understand what you've done?
Yeah. I mean, didn't you say, why didn't you call me?
Right. It was coming up and she was taking responsibility and like, we need to get your trust back. We need to do reparations. And then she cried a little. And then of course, like, okay. I'm just not saying a lot. Yeah. I mean, she can cry. She can not cry. And then at the end, she looked at me and she was like, you know, you're being very nice. And she's like, you're not saying a lot, you know? Cause it was like, I was almost afraid of my
anger.
Yeah. And I just, I start crying. And here's the other thing. She looks my husband in the eye and goes, I'm going to reach out to you over vacation. I'm going to reach out to you. You're an important family to us. I don't want to, never calls.
No kidding.
That was it. Yeah. And by the way, the day this happened, I put her in the lottery for Larchmont Charter. Like,
so
the
she
night.
Got, she got into a different
school. She got into a different school.
And so what? How many years was she there then? Like K-1 and 2? Or just first and second?
Kindergarten and first.
K and 1, yeah.
You know, and she says, like, and of course we told her this school has no homework.
Yeah.
And Larry's happy.
My daughter has no homework, yeah.
I don't believe in homework.
I don't either. I say, you have her 7.5 hours during the day.
Yes.
You figure it out.
Right.
I don't want to deal with it. And
why? And I can't even answer her questions. I'm like, I don't remember Pangea or the isosceles triangle.
We had a math tutor in 4th and 5th grade.
Yeah.
And now in 6th grade, there's no homework. I don't see it. I don't want to know.
It's so ridiculous. No, it's like you go out and chase a butterfly.
I know. Anything.
It's this stupid, it's totally tied in a tangential way to the college admission scandal because we're all so hyperactive and the parents, it's all about their ego and their cocktail party soundbite.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's a whole thing, boy. We could get into the whole educational mm-hmm. system. I mean, it's just that's a huge
But this
topic.
Competitive thing, yeah. I don't want to open a can of worms.
But it's also traditional learning and that's how I learned. And at the end of the day, I learned nothing because I don't remember anything.
I went to an Ivy League school. I was a drunk. Whore. I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I don't
literally.
Remember anything. And so at least now, like the way my daughter's learning, it's in a project-based learning.
Yes, that's what she's. Maybe it's the same
social
school.
Emotional.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
And it's so all progressive. They're like, you know what we do? We build
so
a. They said we when we visited, they were building a clock together.
Yes, that's
like
what
you
they
know
do.
What my daughter
they
goes. She goes
together.
Home and she's like. Getting cataracts on her eyes at seven. First
and if
of, like,
they're studying about Rome, then they do the dancing in Rome, and they do the music
yes.
in Italian, and they do the, you know, everything is based on the same. So whatever
totally.
They're doing throughout the day, they make it all based on.
Yes.
Yeah. See,
that's what, maybe it's, we'll
this
have
is,
to chat
we'll
after.
Talk about, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, so this school was obviously not a fit, obviously. And I'm so
And
glad
other
you
reasons
found out.
Too, like, cause I never felt like.
Yeah. But, yeah. but what I'm trying to
yes.
figure out though is like, when you got called in Boston, when he called you in Boston and said they were just there, you got to call and make an appointment. Like right then and there, did you, didn't call the principal of the school and say, what is going on? Like what's going on here?
You know, it's so interesting that you bring, because you know, the two friends, like I called my most logical, rational friend. And even she said, like the friend that you call, mm-hmm. you know, the one that I call when like, you know, mm-hmm. my marriage was going to break up 4 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That didn't. And
she's a friend.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. This is why you're you. And I'm, well. and she's like, and she, even she said, you send an email to every first grade parent and them, and you call a meeting Monday morning. And I guess like my child, like every mother would feel, like I have one, you have one, and she's everything to me. And I've been so impulsive in the past yeah. that I couldn't live with myself if I did anything impulsive or jeopardize anything. Yeah. 'Cause I didn't know if I was staying at the school yet, and I didn't know if we were going to leave. And I wanted more information, and I wanted to clean my side of the street. Mm-hmm. So I felt like in my instinctually, I'd have more ammunition because yeah. I knew this would be dismissed.
That's very smart and thought provoking that you're giving yourself. It's smart and well thought out. And that's probably the way you felt as well when you were in that room and the cop is there and she's there and you didn't lose it there either. That's a lot of self-control. That's actually a noble trait and it's mature.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I never was in the room with the cop, thank God, like the cop left okay. and then we went in. But I will say that I had one of the last conversations I had with the principal. This was always with the head of the school, but I had never even talked to the principal about this. So I called a meeting with the principal. So she even said, and we actually had a human conversation. That was a problem this whole time. This whole process on their end was devoid of humanity. It just, that's all I can say. It was like I was dealing with robots who were fear-based and self-protection. Unbelievable. And the principal said at the end, you know, I just want you to know how impressed I am with you and how you've handled it.
Because you held your power. You know, if you lose it, which I would have done, then you lose your power, but it feels so good. But later on, you didn't really benefit. So by being in control and keeping your shit together, you do have more power in the end. But I want to ask
yes,
you something.
Yes.
What was your daughter, what did she say about all this going on? Like this yeah. person wants to talk to her and these people want to talk to her. And they're all talking about a belt and making you eat and being hungry.
Right, yes.
So what does she think?
You know, so she's extremely perceptive and intuitive. So she knew. And we were
so
very
did she
honest.
Think she messed up?
So yes. Yeah, so she said all this. She just said a couple, like 2 months ago, all this is happening because of what I said.
Wow.
And I said, you know what, sweetie? No, absolutely not. This is happening because they made a huge mistake and there was a misunderstanding on their part in nothing you did. And she heard me.
Yeah.
It's weird. She didn't even come home that day and tell us there was a police officer there. Like, we kind of gave her space to see if she would come to us. So to their credit, they handled, and that thank God the police officer was a woman. So to their credit, that was handled well. That's the only thing they handled well. Yeah. Everything else has been an absolute unmitigated atrocity and tragedy. But she's been, and I think because we've been honest, like I think kids get very rattled when they feel you're withholding.
Yeah.
So we've even talked about who the mandated reporter was.
Yeah.
But then she just threw us for a loop 2 weeks ago and goes, Mommy, it wasn't just the learning specialist. It was the jump roping teacher.
Whoa.
Which would make sense because like tying, she was taking jump roping once a week, tie me to a chair. So I'm like, oh no, like what?
Wait a minute. What is a jump roping teacher? What do they do?
So they have this thing at this school called enrichment.
Yeah, enrichment.
Oh
program,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And it was her favorite class. So then I'm thinking maybe she wanted to protect the jump roping and she never told us and she told it was the other woman. Maybe the jump roping told it was the...
Yeah.
Because the learning specialist is also like OT.
Yeah.
She just like is one of those annoying
therapy?
Fucking
Wait.
People who like kind of does everything and there's only one of her for like so many people.
I see.
And I never got a good feeling from her either.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate when you don't like somebody at the school. I hate that. But I'm getting better at it because I've been, you know, my daughter's in sixth grade and I was like, I'm still a room parent this year and I've been
wow.
room parent, I've been volunteering.
That's noble. That's a lot of time.
How much I volunteered at her schools. I can't even tell you. I have volunteered extensively. And so I've gotten pretty good at not needing to be liked by these people that work there.
Isn't that the most liberating? Like, of yeah. all my years in 12-step and therapy, like, I'm just getting there.
Yeah, so, like, some of my daughter's teachers are, like, 26, 29. And I want to say, you're like a little bitch, man. You haven't
right?
done anything. Don't give me shit.
I have Ricolas in my pocket that are older
yeah.
than you, you fucking
tennis
bitch.
I balls
yeah.
in my car older than you.
Right?
Yeah, don't fit. But I don't do that. I'm really good at it. Like, and I realize
it's a
she's
skill
age
and
appropriate.
An art.
She's 26 years old. I was an idiot when I was 26
that
years old.
That feels young.
So 26 is young.
Feels a little young.
It's young.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I'm just saying,
hopefully
like
not her, giving you attitude, but I know what you mean when you have to sort of have the equilibrium and navigate
it just,
that.
It doesn't
and
you're matter. Just like, I don't care for that person, or they don't care for me. That's all.
But
good,
it's
man.
But
moving
what's
on.
Interesting is about instinct, because the whole I believe whether it's jump roping or not, mm-hmm. I do feel it was the learning specialist. And when the teacher asked me when we're about to have the meeting, the parent teacher conference, when Larry made the tying up joke,
yeah,
which
yeah.
I think she fucking ran with it.
Yikes.
When the teacher asked me, and then this is just a plug for instincts, and she's like, oh, do you mind if, just call her Jenny. Do you mind if Jenny sits in with us?
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like, I don't.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I had this moment where like, I don't want this woman. I don't like this woman.
Yeah, good. And did you say no?
No, I let her sit in. And that's where she heard the joke.
You weren't able to say, no, I'd really rather her not.
You know, I'm such a fan of just the pause and the beat, and for whatever reason, again, because of my daughter, and sometimes I just get, like, I just want to do the right thing for my daughter,
Parenting is so hard.
And that would have caused ruffles. Yeah. I mean, if I had said, I mean, I could have said, I guess, you know what, I would prefer to just be between you guys and us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a flag in the sand.
Yeah, I mean, you're an adult. You can say that.
I totally can say that, but it would have been a thing.
A bit of a thing.
It would have. It should have been, why, what do you, what's your beef with Jenny? But
I know. And kids, they pick up on all that. I'll tell you, like my daughter will have a play date and the mother will pick up late. And I'm like, well, of course she's going to be late. She's always late. And my daughter will be like, what? What did
you
say?
Right,
and I'm like, just forget what I said. No, did you say she's always late? Yeah, she's always late. Well, no, and then there's a whole thing.
They remember.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They're so funny. And they love, kids love gossip.
They do. They kids, I mean, and I'm like an unrepentant compulsive. Like I literally write in a journal every night, did I gossip today? Did I
You're
do?
So funny.
No, I'm trying. No, it's bad.
Hey, real quick, what was she, a latke or a sauce? Which was she?
She was the narrator.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Isn't
narrator
cute?
Three. And it was, she was, you know,
really
what?
Cute. Those little school performances,
oh my God.
They're just the best.
She did. I mean, she was great.
Yeah.
And then she has to be interviewed by a cop if her dad tied. By the way,
this
if
is
you
a lot
hit your
going
kid,
on
if you
for
hit
seven.
Your kid, but here's my thing. And here's why I actually think they were devoid of intelligence and judgment. Tell me what you think. There are parents out there. We've never hit our kid. I mean, I've yelled at her, but there are parents who hit their kids, right?
Right.
But like, are you really thinking there's a parent who ties their kid to a chair? Like who ties them up? Like, aren't we, isn't it generally just hitting? Like that's the thing that like, would someone, I mean, is this medieval times? And
well,
then you're going to
you
like.
Hear about that, but it's usually these extreme cases when a kid is like chained to a radiator or.
Right.
Is,
but
like,
isn't,
really
but isn't
extreme.
That insane? Like, wouldn't you, I mean, that was my thing. Like, wouldn't you maybe look into that, the like, tie you to a chair?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I can't believe there wasn't a phone call made.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's really upsetting.
And I held, like, I'm having, like, coffee focus groups now that we're into another school. Because I'm telling everyone and just
it's
sort
good.
Of.
It's good. Get your voice out
yeah.
there. Tell people.
Yeah.
yeah. And did any other parents, do you think, follow suit or?
In terms of, like, it's funny. People are mixed. People
yeah.
are mixed. Like, some people are, like, fielding, I'm still speechless 3 weeks later. Like, and I can't even believe.
Yeah.
And then some women are, like, they have to do that.
No, they don't have to do that. That's absurd.
Yeah, and actually, those aren't the people that I'm, you know,
your friends
those
are
my allies, right?
So let me ask
yes.
you, if I may, why
anything
do you, have,
you want?
You have no relationship with your mom? I didn't think it was that funny.
I didn't expect you to say it. We do have a decent relationship. I just, you know, when we grew, I'll say this: like, she had my brother 6 years after me, and she had a lot of problems getting pregnant, and she self-admittedly said. When I was going to the hospital fielding, I just knew it would never be the same. I was so sad. And I was like, why? She goes, because I knew that I could never really be there for two children.
Oh, jeez.
And it's true. She, like, I just had one. I knew my limits. Like, my mom just was like, he was the Messiah. So she...
The crown prince.
Yeah.
Jackie Cation has a joke about her nephew, the crown prince.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
The crown prince. And guess what? He's a neurologist at Harvard.
No shit.
And I'm a snack vlogger.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. No. He was just in Milan at a conference.
So what are you saying? That he got that much attention that is what made him bright? You're bright.
No. I'm bright. He I just chose mean that path. I mean that, but like he was cosseted and given everything. It was like also in Jewish families, the boy is like the
is that right?
The Messiah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny. I have a good relationship with my mom. I have to really have these Teflon samurai boundaries with her because it's like she just wants to get her hooks in me. If she had her way, we would talk every day.
Yeah. In other words, yeah, you do have to set up your boundaries and you just have to be...
She's a fragile, coreless woman.
I see. Where does she live?
New York City. Same apartment. It's sort of like a live-in divorce.
Yeah. A what?
A live-in divorce with my dad. They're just
funny.
Separate bedrooms, yeah.
Yeah, separate everything.
Separate everything.
But they've been together
forever.
For 50 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, almost 50
years. I can't
imagine
having that in my life. Like, having that kind of a... I don't know. I'm probably going to be single forever.
But you're so not. Somebody, oh, he's on his way. He's on his way.
It just seems so strange. I feel it. So, but that's good, though. I think it's really healthy to set up boundaries. And, you know, but a lot of family dynamics, you know, it's very codependent upon one another.
Yes.
So that especially mothers and daughters, like they can get so close that they don't even, you know, like even in my own family, I have four sisters. And they're my mother talks to everybody in the morning before like 7
no.
a.m. Like they're talking.
Still?
Yeah, like it's very incestuous in a way. You know, very tight.
It's like a Chekhov play tight. Gone right.
It's Italian, you know, tight family.
That's lovely.
It can be. I'm on the other side of the country.
Right.
I'm not part of that. But I'm just saying, like, it for them, it works. This person gets their needs filled. They get their needs filled.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and sometimes, you know, you might have a husband or somebody who just checks out and isn't dealing.
Right.
Isn't sharing that stuff with you. So you got to go to your mom.
Oh, sure.
Or your
yeah.
sister. And so you have like surrogate spouses
yeah.
because you're not getting it. I mean, I say this and I don't have anybody, but the point
no,
is,
but you have the experience.
Like,
I feel like you could,
I think as you get older, obviously, we make better decisions. We're able to separate and we're able to be mature. And I think what you did in terms of like, you know, keeping it under wraps and not losing it and not having that Glengarry
Thank
Glen
you.
Ross, I think that's very mature. And
you
know exactly what went on. You know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we were meant to be out of there. By the way, I just
You were
took
totally
my,
meant to be out of there.
Oh,
totally
that's the thing. You know what my husband was saying? If we stayed and there was like a bomb explosion next year, we could never, like, we have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the signals and the signs and the messenger. The universe couldn't be like thrusting us out more.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And then
why would you say a bomb? Are you saying like for in Jewish people?
A little bit.
Get attacked,
like, I mean, and by the way, my husband's like a raging anti-Semite now. He's like, gosh. No, but you know what I mean? It was like, you have to pay attention to that because
I was at my daughter's school the other day, mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, and there was a lockdown and we all had to hide in the closet and stuff. And I'm just in there with these children and I have them like all behind me and I'm just like tears in my eyes. Like, this sucks, man. This
Isn't it
sucks.
So depressing?
And they're running through the hallways and banging on the walls, like with this stick. The principal is going through the hallways and banging like, hey, and stuff like that. And then,
oh my God.
And then it's clear. And then this was a drill. You know, it's like, shit, sucks we have to do that.
The teacher told me that they had one at our school and they were all huddled in a closet.
Yeah.
And she said, my child asked the teacher and she goes, is there really a bad guy outside?
Ugh.
Isn't that just like...
It's horrible.
Horrible.
And you're with the kids and you're like, everybody be quiet. Yeah, so, and anyway, it just sucks that we have to go through that. But being a parent is very fulfilling to me. But
yes.
One is also the perfect number.
Oh my God. One and done. You know what I say
one
too?
Is a great
I feel like
number.
When you just have one, you can still kind of leave. You just have
well,
one, right?
You know, I happen to be one of those lucky people in a very lucky divorce where we're very good friends. And so we split the.
That's
child,
it's very noble because, like, you really don't
time.
Hear that very often.
Oh, I think you do. I don't know.
I don't.
I hear a lot more about modern families.
Oh,
now.
You do?
The people aren't bickering, and I don't know. I think it's more accessible now to live.
I don't know. Maybe all my friends are out for blood. Like, these New York.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, if somebody cheated or somebody lied to somebody, then that's what's going to go down.
I think generally they get to that place, but, like, one. Oh my God. And don't you love the, I always
one
get the
great.
Like, oh my God, how could you do that? She's going to be so lonely. I'm like, first of all, she has two furry brothers for cats. She says that. She goes, I have two brothers. And they're like, and she's like, Larry and Avery, my cats.
You named your cat after your husband?
No. I had the cat first.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
And my husband is such a psycho narcissist. He still to this day thinks I named the cat after him. And I'm like, no, Larry. Its real name is Larry Gross, my professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
That's so funny. So, a good school.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good school. Yeah. Wait, I wanted to say one more thing. Let me think what I was going to say.
We covered so much.
I know, but wait, there's something else I was thinking of.
I wanted to tell you one thing about my mom, because I feel like this might help listeners who have difficult relationships with their mom. This has been a game changer for me. I took her mom out of my phone and just put her name, because the term mom is earned.
You're so funny.
It was like such a game changer.
Yeah, it helps you. That's good if that's the way you
look at it. Because now I say Mary, and I'm like, I can take in a Mary.
Yeah.
She's not my mom.
That's interesting.
She's a woman that cut up chicken for me and bought me vests. I have to call her once a week. Otherwise, I get passive aggressive texts. Yeah. But I try to do it. I can't do it when I'm washing dishes anymore, because she knows I'm multitasking. And she'll go, can you turn it off? It's very hard to hear you.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I always multitask.
I know. So I have to do a silent activity now.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know what? She has a sense of humor, and she takes us on nice vacations.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's a wonderful grandmother. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's all good.
Listen.
So take that stuff and leave.
You know what? I try to focus on the good. Yeah.
Here's what I was going to say real quick about having one child. Sometimes when we're visiting other people's houses and the kids start fighting, I say, hey, Alabama, listen to that. Hear that?
Oh.
We don't have that at our house, do we?
I'm going to borrow that. Because once in a while, does your daughter ever say, has she ever said to you the sibling thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when she was little, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, isn't that great when it stops? Yeah. I know. I say, I only have love for you.
Yeah, that's all I have. That's it.
I can't wait to meet her.
Thank you so much.
You're so
funny, and you're so accomplished. You're doing really great things.
Thanks so much.
You guys, check out Fielding over there on Twitter, at Fielding Edlow, and then follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. Tell her how much you liked her story. That's what you should do. Get personal. You know what I mean? So you go to at Fielding Edlow, and you say, hey, Fielding, I really enjoyed your story at Storyworthy. So you can do it like that. And then everybody's happy and we get a little bit like a smile. That's the thing. When somebody compliments
I'm smiling
on Twitter,
right now. Yeah.
It's nice. You know what I mean?
It kind of makes your week.
It doesn't cost anything.
And listen, I'm here. I'm putting together a mom militia too.
Oh, great.
So yeah,
okay,
if you feel
good.
Like
be part of that.
You're leading it too.
Totally.
Okay.
Again, you guys, I want to thank you so much for tuning in on behalf of the very talented Fielding Edlow. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.